Hello, combatants. Thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome back to another great episode. If you've been with us for a while, we welcome you back. If you're new here, please hit follow or subscribe wherever you watch or listen to the podcast, as it greatly helps us out. Mortal Kombat fans, unite, as we are pleased to announce that we will be joined by Tom Choi today, the voice of Liu Kang in some of the biggest games such as MK vs. DCU, MK9, and MKX. In terms of television, you may recognize his voice from the character called Frontman in Netflix's ridiculously successful show, Squid Game. He is also widely recognized for playing Mr. Yukimura on MTV's Teen Wolf from season 3 to season 5. If you're a fan of Tom's, Kamidogu would also like to remind you that he is available on the Cameo platform. Tom continues to be very active on here and is very passionate when it comes to connecting with his fellow fans. It's also noteworthy that he even has the frontman mask that he often sports from Squid Game. We encourage you to reach out, send a personal request, and you can receive a specified video directed to you or any friends exclusively. With all that being said, let's get to the core of this episode, discuss Mortal Kombat, and learn more about Tom. And away we go to today's interview. All right, and here we are. It's a pleasure to have you join us today, Tom.
Well, thanks for having me.
I would like to begin this episode by perhaps asking you, how did you initially receive the role of Liu Kang, which began in Mortal Kombat versus DCU?
Well, you know, like everybody else, I just auditioned for it. I didn't realize it was going to be such a big cult hit when I auditioned for it. I didn't know that I was going to get the pivotal role of Liu Kang. You know, I just went in and did my best, and I was fortunate enough to land it. And that was probably, oh man, how many years ago when it was like, I don't know, it was an 8-bit? Was Mortal Kombat like 8-bit back then? I don't know. Was it like all like pixelated and... So
it's going back a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So how similar would you say you are to Liu Kang's character, and what are some of your favorite qualities of his?
Well, I don't have his muscles. Maybe I've got his hair now. I'm kind of, honestly, I've been kind of proud of my hair lately because it's becoming a little more Liu Kang-ish. So in terms of that, it's very similar. You know, throughout the history of Mortal Kombat, there's been a lot of people who played the character. Robin Sho in, you know, the movie, the original movie. I don't know who the original you know how they did the graphics.
Oh, Ho-Sung Park.
Oh, is that what his name was?
Yeah, from the first one.
When the video game, the original video game?
Yep.
Yeah, like he's iconic, obviously. And then all these other iterations, the fan remake of I think it was Brian T did that one, and then there was another one where Rudy Lin played the most recent one. So you know, pretty proud to be in that good company. So as far as my similarity goes, my voice. You know, I try to project a strong demeanor, you know, a strong Asian man demeanor. So I guess that's pretty similar. So, yeah.
Brilliant. I understand you played some of Mortal Kombat in the arcades back in the day and even saw the 1995 film in theaters. Just how much of a fan were you beforehand, and which characters are your favorite?
I was a huge fan. I remember... I remember distinctly, it was an empty theater. That's not to say it was not popular. It was just that we went to a matinee, my friend Brandon and I, and we were the only ones in the theater. And then when they played the Mortal Kombat, you know, and they played the techno music, just standing up and dancing because we were the only ones in there. And I distinctly remember that. You know, I had the pleasure of working with the original Johnny Cage, Lyndon Ashby. In Teen Wolf when I was on there. So that's a little thing that we had in common. And that was a big pleasure. But obviously Scorpion was probably my favorite just because he had the cool, you know, get over here thing. So
Spear. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and of course, Liu Kang, because he was like the only Asian guy lead character at the time. It was crazy. Groundbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really great, man, in the first one. He just blew up from there. If you really had to think about it, what would you say was your biggest challenge while tackling this character?
Aside from trying to do that leg kick in the air voice, it was a funny story. They wanted me to say a bunch of words that they would manipulate later on. And they said that was the bicycle kick noise that he made. You know what I mean? Like in the video game. Like
that. Yep.
Like we think it's gibberish, but apparently it was a lot of words that were actually said that were sped up or something. So I tried doing that and it failed miserably. So you don't hear that in the video games, thankfully.
Thankfully. Out of the three games you did and all the scenes that you were involved in, what would you say is your favorite scene and the one that you were most pleased with?
You know, as an actor, especially with action things, it's not really the action scenes that we get to do our thing, right? Especially with voiceovers and stuff. So, like, honestly, like, my scenes with Katana were actually the best in the video game cutscenes because they were really heartfelt, down to earth, and I could really put a lot of emotion into it. And that's something that you don't really see when you're playing the video game, right? It's just a lot of, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So that was great.
What are some of your favorite memories working with Midway Games before 2008 and then the later established NetherRealm Studios?
You know, as a voice actor, we go in the booth, we do as we're told. Obviously, it was great working with the directors on it. You know, the best part was being asked to come in again and again. I mean, you know, if there's any big compliment as an actor, it's to repeat something that we've done. And so that was actually the biggest part. You know, there's no smokes and it's all smoke and mirrors, right? It's not like some really big, grandiose. I didn't do motion capture or anything like that. If that was the case, maybe that would have been something that was like, wow, that was an amazing, memorable thing. But I was in a voice booth, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a particular favorite move or fatality of Liu Kang's? What stands out most to you in your eyes?
Well, obviously the bicycle kick is iconic. Honestly, nothing really stands out. Maybe it's my memory that's kind of fleeting right now, but I would definitely say the bicycle kick, that's his iconic move, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, this is the one character that doesn't rely on weapons and lasers and flames and things like that. So,
very true.
You know, it's his speed that's great when you play him.
I love how easily, you know, accessible he is, too. His moves are so incredibly easy to pull off. That's always a joy, too. On a grand scale of things, just how much has the role of Liu Kang affected your professional career? Do you still often get people notice you for your work on the character?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a joy when I look at like YouTube and they have like, or you, your podcast. And when people recognize me more for Liu Kang than like anything I've done in terms, I mean, I've been on 3 seasons of Teen Wolf and it's still like, oh my God, you played Liu Kang? That's amazing, right? what was the question? I'm sorry.
How much has it affected your career, and do you still get people notice you?
Yes, that's definitely the joy of you know, having played this character. And like I was mentioning, when I go to YouTube or anything and I look up Liu Kang, they have like, who played the best Liu Kang voice? And I gotta say, I'm pretty honored to say that it's consistently me. So I take very big pride of that, you know. So I'm very grateful for that. Yeah. And it's definitely helped my voiceover career for sure.
Yeah, certainly. It's no secret that a number of the actors from previous NRS games didn't end up returning for the latest title, MK11, and were ultimately replaced. Is there any reason specifically as to why you didn't reprise the role, Tom?
Because we asked for $1 million each. No, I'm just kidding. honestly, I don't know. I know that Liu Kang looks younger in 11 and beyond. So, and you know, Matt Yan King, he's a friend of mine. He plays him now, and you know, he's a great guy. So whatever choice it is, I'm not gonna look deep into the politics of it or anything. I know Ed Boon is doing it on his own now, and it was a kind of a co-directing thing beforehand. So maybe he had a certain vision beforehand, or now that it's like a bit younger, quote unquote. I mean, the irony is that Matt Yan King is probably older than me, but you know, he looks younger. His voice is a lower, excuse me, a little bit higher in vocal quality. And so, whatever it is, it all stands out. Who knows? Maybe I'll come back. You know, all you viewers out there, just start tweeting right now to Ed
Let's
Boon.
do
Let's do it.
it.
The legend comes back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, yes, you've mentioned you know, other takes from different actors you know, in regards to Liu Kang. When it comes to the television series, short series, movies, etc., did you happen to really enjoy any particular portrayal?
I like the campiness of the original Mortal Kombat and Robin Sho with his huge hair, you know. And honestly, I thought they told that story well. And the forest scene with, you know, Scorpion, I mean, they did that spot on. So I think that really
Oh,
set the trend for a lot of these video game movies, right?
definitely.
I saw the latest one too, and I thought that was great. A lot of special effects, you know, obviously. It's a little bit convoluted in the storyline. You know, they kind of deviated some from the universe of Mortal Kombat a bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But you know, it's still very enjoyable. You know, I think the favorite character was that. Is it Cyborg or
Oh, yeah,
who is it?
Kano.
No, Kano. Yeah. Kano was the funniest guy in that. I mean, he was
He
hilarious.
stole almost every scene. It
He
was
did. He
insane.
did. It was great. But very enjoyable. Yeah, absolutely. I kind of
Yeah, it
wanted to
was
see the fan. You see the short film, the fan ones with like
Legacy?
Gary Ryan, and you had Brian T,
Yes.
and you had all those like that.
Yeah.
That looked pretty slick, you know. So,
It did
but
for such a low budget. They did an incredible job.
And I know that there's a TV series coming out, right? But I don't know, or maybe it was just the animated series.
Yeah, you know, there's been rumors that since the first movie 2021 was so incredibly successful, they're thinking of branching out now. For example,
I would imagine
there's
they would.
rumors of a Sonya Blade television show. Ludi Lin actually is pushing for a Shaolin Monks spinoff. I think that would be incredible. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, he's
So
great. I
tell
mean,
us,
go ahead.
yeah.
Go ahead.
So tell us just how it was working with Lyndon Ashby and Teen Wolf, who portrayed Johnny Cage in the '95 film. Did he ever talk to you about his time working on that project, or have you two spoken of MK in general at all?
You know, we spoke in general. He didn't really have any like juicy stories or anything.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would definitely tell you right now what they were. I mean, you know, we would tweet back and forth pictures of him, you know, as Johnny Cage and stuff. So it's been so long ago for him. I'm sure like he appreciates that he's played him because it's such an iconic character, and I'm sure that created a lot of inroads for him as well. But you know, we talked about surfing. We talked about just more life stuff on set, to be honest with you.
As expected, as expected. Could you tell us about any stories working on The Shield and 24? What was it like working with Kiefer Sutherland and Michael Chiklis?
You know what's funny about The Shield is that was one of my first roles on TV. I had like three
Right,
lines as a
right.
sheriff. And I remember I was so nervous. I'd ask the director after every take, was that okay? Was that okay? Was that okay? And you know, that was that. And as far as working on 24, that was an incredibly big acting moment because it was like top of show guest star, where it was like a ton of scenes and everything. And I was nervous about that because it was 24 is obviously like in real time, quote unquote. So as an actor, it's funny because you actually have to act it differently because at every moment somebody had just died that you know. And I know that the viewers might not understand what I'm trying to say, but just think about if you open your eyes and someone had just died. Like 24 hours a day, you have to just remember that somebody had just died. And that's how we as actors have to portray that on 24. That was my unique thing on 24. So, and it was great because I worked with Kiefer again on a Designated Survivor, where I played like a dictator of a foreign country, which supposedly was like Kim Jong-un, but you can't say that because you'll probably be assassinated or something. No, I'm serious. Like Randall Park, he played him on, you know, that one movie, and he got death threats and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy. Oh. So they changed my name on that show.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty intense. What was that movie James Franco and Seth Rogen worked on? James Franco and
Seth Rogen. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. That's what caused the Sony hack. Remember the email hack?
Yeah.
So it's very dangerous when you play the North Korean dictator.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. To anybody looking into getting involved with the voice acting business, let's say, what would be your advice for them?
Be patient. Be very, very patient. It's a very, very, very competitive field. There's a ton of people. And the reason why, I mean, you see doctors and lawyers and everybody wanting to be voiceover artists because they think that it's something to do on the side. It's something that you don't have to spend a whole lot of time on, or, you know, move to LA for, or this and that. And, you know, these days it is true that you can do it from almost anywhere, but most of these sessions are done in studio in LA or New York or Chicago. And it's not an amateur's game. I mean, you can do small little things in here and there. And the other piece of advice is once you get some decent roles, hold your ground. And if you can, you know, become a union member and you are one, hold your ground. Don't do non-union. Get what you're worth, you know, because honestly, it's a job. And if you want to make it as your job, don't take, you know, $50 projects, you know?
Yeah.
Why? For practice? No, they have money. Make them pay. Mm-hmm. That's my advice.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. From what I can see, you've produced and written in your line of work. One short film in particular is titled Lone Hunter, which has gone on to win a jury prize amongst many other nominations. Could you tell our listeners a bit more about this project and what the story is about?
Yeah, that was a like, kind of a passion project. And it's actually very relevant these days because it really is based on a real life story of an Asian hunter in Wisconsin who accidentally or purposely went onto private property. And the owners of that private property were also hunters. They came out with their guns. They had a standoff. And, you know, the details are with those, with the Asian hunter and with the other guys who were killed. But it's a very, very controversial story where this Asian hunter, you know, killed a lot of those, you know, other hunters. And he's in jail now. There was a lot of, most important thing is that there was a lot of racial taunting and rhetoric and threats during that incident. And so, you know, there's multiple sides. One side says that, you know, he shot first. The other side says, or, you know, the Asian hunter says that he felt threatened because they had guns and they were basically looked like they were going to kill him. So he was self-defending. So anyway, yeah, you can watch it on YouTube, Lone Hunter. Look up Tom Choi and Lone Hunter. And it's a short film, and it's very controversial. You know, it's not like you want to sit down and if you want a good comedy. but I think it's a story that's very relevant and important these days because that's the kind of stuff that's going on right now, especially with Asian hate and the attack on that on the store in Buffalo. It's very relevant.
Mm-hmm. So, Tom, we're now going to jump into the last segment of our show, and it is called
Final Round.
So what we're going to do for this final round is we're going to ask you some sort of rapid fire questions, trying to get to know you a little more. So the first one being, what are some of your secret talents?
Do I get any time to think about it, or do I have to just do it off the top of my head?
Don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself out. It'll be okay. No, you can take your time, man.
All right. I didn't know if it was one of those. Go ahead.
Yeah. What are some of your secret talents?
I'm a pretty good surfer. I can, let's see, balance the surfboard on my head without any hands or anything. That's very unique.
That is a secret challenge.
A lot of kids and people on the beach love to see that. I am fanatic about golf, even though I suck at it. What else? Your talents. I can juggle trays, waiter trays on my hand because of all the years of waiting tables. Oh. Throwing them into the air and everything. So those are secret talents, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. What would you say is your strangest fan encounter?
Strangest fan encounter. Huh. That's an interesting one. For me, it's always weird when they recognize me. And so, when they have autograph, like printouts of my headshots and everything at premieres or events or something, yeah, where they know I'm going to be at and they want my autograph, that's always the weirdest thing. It's the most flattering thing, you know? I know they're doing it so that maybe they can make money in the future, whatever, but God bless them that they think I'm somebody they can make money off of, because I'll gladly give my signature. If you got the Funko Pop, send it to me. I'll sign it and send it back. I have one of those.
Yeah.
Dang it. It's in my house right now. I'd show you. But anyway.
That'd be wicked. Yeah.
And the other thing is that a lot of people don't understand about actors is that when people see you, they think they know you personally first, because that's how your mind works. So they're like, hey, I know you. Are you Bob's friend? And like, I was just on Teen Wolf last night. Oh, that's it. So it's pretty interesting when that started happening, when I became recognizable, because it's like a weird psychological thing that happens. People do not think of TV and film first. They think they know you, which is hilarious.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite video games? I know you're a bit of a gamer.
A little bit of gamer. Yeah. Fallout 76, obviously, cause I play the role of Night Shin. So
with all the updates and the expansions, and yes, your role, I thought it was a fantastic game.
Oh, thank
Severely
you.
Severely underrated. I had a blast.
Oh, yeah, thank
it.
You.
Yeah,
that's awesome. But the other games I play, honestly, I have an Oculus and I'm playing like Star Wars Pinball. Like I have a kid, like a 3-month-old. So I'm like totally playing games where you can just be done with them in one sitting. There you go. There's your Fallout guy. That guy's going to be iconic forever.
Definitely.
What's his name again? I don't remember that guy's name. That little guy.
Pip-Boy.
You held up the Pip-Boy. That's right. Yeah. What else do I play? I loved playing Assassin's Creed games. Because they were so great at like letting you escape into a different world. I love open world games like that. So that series is really great. So I love those. Yeah.
Fabulous. What was your very first job?
Oh, I worked at a taco place inside the mall. It's called Uncle Jack's Tacos. Yeah. So you got to see.
Any specific memories from there?
Like how you make tacos, you put a lot of oatmeal in it. It's ground beef and oatmeal. That's the filler you put in. When you go to Taco Bell, you eat a lot of oatmeal. I think Taco Bell has that. I believe Taco Bell does the same thing. But I was like, wow, I did not know tacos had oatmeal in the beef. So I guess that's the thickening thing. So there you go. There's your useless facts for the day.
And speaking of food, what is your favorite food?
I mean, I got to be cliche and say Korean barbecue.
Of course.
Yeah, like I don't know where you're located right now, but like you have a favorite Korean restaurant? Toronto, right? Was it Toronto or?
I live close to Toronto. I live close to Toronto. Yeah.
Yeah. So you must have some pretty good Korean restaurants up there.
Yeah. I'm bad with names, but there's some really good ones.
That means you're going to the right places, because if you can't remember the names of the restaurant, that means it's too hard to pronounce, and those are the best places. Right?
Right?
Exactly.
Here's a good one.
Yes.
If you were granted 3 wishes.
Okay.
What would they be?
Wow, that's a big one. honestly, 3 wishes. I would want to know where the hell we go after we die. That'd be a good one.
Mm.
That's a good wish. Number two would be that this world becomes more equal. I know I'm being very yes. unselfish with that, but it's just crazy how we emphasize all that stuff when we have all the abilities to feed everybody, to be friendly with everybody. Everybody can have like everything they'd be happy with. And yet we are so yeah. selfish. Yeah. And then I guess a personal one would be to like, I don't know. I kind of feel like I have everything. I got my 3-month-old now, and I guess it would just, my oh, third wow. wish would be, yeah, thank you.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. You know, I don't know. It's just to be able to keep doing the things I love on my own terms. Yeah. I like to do things on my own terms.
Sure. That's a good answer. Like,
yeah. Right. Like not have to have time constraints.
Yeah.
Be able to surf wherever I wanted to be able to, you know, just that. There you go. Keep it in reality.
Perfect. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, my biggest pet peeve in general. Like
yeah,
anything specific general. Or well, oh, my biggest pet peeve. I think, not, I'll give you a simple one. When you're driving and the person who's turning does not go completely into the turning lane. And so they slow down oh. in front of you just so they can have it a little bit easier to turn. That's one of my pet peeves.
Big drives one. Me nuts. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's one of my pet peeves.
What's,
and I'm sorry.
Okay.
Tipping at the counter, tipping at a fast food, fast counter. Like, what are you doing for me that I'm tipping you? Yeah. Like your company should pay that and you should make my sandwich $2 more. That's how it should be.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. I mean, golf, because it's so expensive and stupid. But what's my guilty pleasure? Guilty pleasure, guilty pleasure. That's a good one. Yeah, I think so. I think golf is the only thing I'm really, yeah.
Any specific movies or music that you feel kind of guilty about liking?
I mean, aside from porn? I'm just kidding.
right, waiting obvious, for it.
Just, that was the obvious answer.
Yeah.
I scratched that. I do not watch that. That's disgusting. Do not. Oh my God. Where is this going? Where is this going? any guilty pleasure movies and TV shows? TV shows. I kind of like whatever, but well, I've been kind of watching Halo, new series. Yeah. It's actually really well done. I think they should have a little bit more fighting between the Covenant and the, the Master Sergeant. But what else is there? Guilty pleasure TV show wise, movie wise. I don't know. That's about it. Yeah. Resident Evil movies. And I love Resident Evil movies. I don't know why.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, they're just so cheesy.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of
watching
kind of
aliens and horror and stuff, you know, or the creatures.
Yeah, Resident Evil. I remember there was a lot of mixed feelings because they introduced the original character for the first set of movies. But yeah, I thought it was fun. It was cheesy, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll agree.
Yeah. So that's my guilty pleasure, I guess.
And the last question being, and this is a tough one, so...
Okay.
Funniest thing that's ever happened to you, or just a funny memory that will never... leave you.
Funniest memory. I can only think of like embarrassing gross ones, like when I puked in math class on the table.
Oh no.
Funniest memories. I don't know. That's, that is a tough
pranks,
one.
Pranks on set.
I mean, I was in high school, and we had, for some reason, we had a fire hydrant wrench, and we decided we would just unscrew fire hydrants and let the water just shoot out. It's very stupid, and we should be punished severely for that. It's a waste of water.
But no big deal.
That's what we did back then. So I guess that's a funny story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely.
yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay, Tom, well, it's been a real joy to have you on the show today. We're all looking forward to seeing what's up next for you. And again, fingers crossed for Liu Kang reprisal.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the people listening to our feature today, where can fans find you on social media? And is there anything at all that you'd like to give a plug?
Sure. You can find me everywhere at Tom T. Choi. That's at Tom T. Choi, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, website, my personal webpage, everything like that, YouTube. And yeah, I'd love to plug Cameo. If you guys are true fans of Liu Kang or Squid Game, I did the voice of you know, the front man on the English language version of Squid Game. If you're a fan of Teen Wolf or Liu Kang or anything, you want to do a personal message, Cameo, cameo.com, Tom Choi, you know, hit me up and we can continue this with a personal message.
Wicked. Well, yeah, it's been a real pleasure and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again, Tom.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Alrighty. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay, combatants, you heard it all from the Chosen One himself. Always a pleasure to hear from our fellow Mortal Kombat actors, especially from somebody who portrayed such an honorable and impactful character as Liu Kang. Thank you kindly for tuning in today. We really appreciate it. There's much more on the horizon yet. Also, keep in mind to open that Cameo application. There's a good opportunity waiting in store for you. Meanwhile, we hope you are doing well, and we're excited to see you in the next one. Don't ever, ever forget, my friends, to have fun, stay safe, and stay flawless.